You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it does. Shall come a time in your life you will walk in your calling in the fields that are wide. You will walk in many nations, you will speak my word, nothing shall move you. You will be a burning, shining light, turning many souls to God, walking in the fields, reaping the harvest. Oh, so fulfill your ministry before the time is done. Make full proof of your calling. Oh, fulfill your ministry before the time is done, make full proof of your calling. I'll send my missionaries to the world. I will bless and anoint them. They will be harsh cultures. They will walk in many nations, preaching my word. Nothing will move them. They will not be destroyed by their marriages or filled with many excuses. But they will bear much fruit. They will fulfill their ministry before the time is done. They'll make full proof of their calling. Oh, fulfill their ministry before the time is done. They'll make full proof of their calling. Missionaries shall endure what others could not endure. My grace is upon them. So receive the grace of God. Walk on, my child. I have called you to be mine. Signs and wonders, mighty deeds and great accomplishments shall be your testimony. You will fulfill your ministry before the time is done. You'll make full proof of your calling. Oh, fulfill your ministry before the time is done. You'll make full proof of your calling. Of your calling.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hey, I can't hear you. Hallelujah. Wow. What a blessing and a beautiful song. Amen. Well, we are at the most important part of the service, and I'm excited that our Father is in the house with us this morning. Amen. So if you are happy as I am, I want you to rise up to your feet with Jesus' joy, with a shout in your home, a clap and a jump. Let's welcome our daddy, our father, the Reverend Kojo Olins Lindsay.
With your side
to me. There is no one who faithful God. So loving and true.
Does he know
your name? Lord,
you put our trust in you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. How I love
the name of Jesus.
How I
love.
Oh, how I love the name of
Jesus.
More to
me.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus wherever you are. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the reason why we reason. Yes, he is the reason why we reason. That is, if you have any sanity in you, it's because he is Prince of Peace. Without peace, you have no sanity. So he's a reason why we reason, and he's a reason for this season. Clap again for this King of Kings. Lift up your hands with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today because of nobody else but you. I look up to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I know that you who keeps Israel, who keeps us, you never slumber nor sleep. You've given us many, 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 many days of wakefulness, kept our hearts beating. Why would we not worship you? We come, we see this as a worship service. What you are worth is what we bring you, and it's our reasonable service. We come to serve and not to be served. We come to minister and not to be ministered to. Help us, Holy Spirit, to come through. May every soul be affected who's listening. Let your anointing come through with power, and let your presence have the preeminence. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Amen. Can you put your hands together for the Lord and sit on top of your enemies? This is where, if you have weight, you have an advantage. Yes, you sit on top of your enemies. It's a blessing to be here. And I like that song, Fulfill Your Ministry. Fulfill Your Ministry. I just want to say that fill your ministry to the full. You know, anytime you come to church, don't think church, think service. All right? Think service. The Bible says that there was a lady called Phoebe who was a servant of the church. Service. Phoebe. Servant of. That's when Paul was in the book of Romans enumerating people. Now, when you come to church, don't think of church as you're coming. Pastor is coming to preach to me. The choir is coming to sing to me. The church is there to serve me. No, it's a church service. Service. You are coming to serve. That is what ministry is. Okay? So never let anybody ask you, what church do you go to? Ask them, where do you serve? Where do you serve? He said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church, which is in Cancria. Now, I don't know where you are, but this church, you must be a servant of the church. serve. The church is the body of Christ. And everyone inside ought to be, there are three things, a servant, a son, and a sheep. Sheep, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we are God's sheep. Servant, I mean son, because we are the children of God. I mean, son means female sons and male sons. So when they say son or male in the Bible, is gender non-specific. Yeah, it's gender mutual. So please, gender neutral. So don't write a memo to me, okay? So that's who we are. And then the third thing is we are servants. Jesus Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. Luke chapter 2, verse number 49. So Jesus was a servant of God, his Father's business, service. So he came to serve. So everyone, if you are a child of God, you must be a servant. That is the one thing that the prodigal son did not understand. Bring it down all so that, yeah. The prodigal son didn't seem to understand. He thought he was in his father's house for the property, for the goodies. And many Christians are like that. We're all in for the blessings and the benefits. Look, it's a side effect. It's not a main. It's just like going to work and thinking that I'm there because of the salary. You're joking. You'll be fired. You are there because of there's a service to be rendered. And if you do that service, well, you will get benefits. The Bible says, I believe in Psalm 68 or 69, 68 verse 19, it says that, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Daily loads us. He's going to load us. Anyway, even the God of our salvation, once he saves you, the benefits are going to flow. But the job is to serve, ladies and gentlemen. So let's serve the Lord. So I'm saying this to say that, you know, the fact that you go to a church and you don't say, I go to a church, I serve in this place. Do you remember when God was bringing salvation to the Israelites? He set them free from Egypt. And then he said, let my people go. And then he went, took them to the promised land. He said one thing to Pharaoh, that, you know, the world in the symbolic terms, Egypt in those days was synonymous to the world, okay? Pharaoh was synonymous to the devil, okay? The promised land, the wilderness is our journey of Christianity, where you are proved and tested. And then those who pass, they get to the promised land, which is the heaven. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yes. And Moses, who brought them, saved them from Egypt, is a type of Christ who saves us. And then the Red Sea is a type of blood of Jesus Christ that we walk through, cleanses us. When the Lord realized, look, these people, they cannot help themselves anyway. Let me just wash them and send them through to the promised land. And those who kept. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that set them rolling in all this venture was a statement from the Lord. Go tell that devil, Pharaoh, go tell him, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. So, ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord gives you salvation, it is that you may serve him. What is your service? You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, me, I've told myself, no matter what I find my hand to do, whether as a father, whether as a doctor, whether as a friend, whether as a man, a woman, whatever it may be, my job is to serve the Lord. So I work to live, but I live to serve the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That must be the mindset of every Christian. So service is the main thing. All right? So we are in a church to serve, church service. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to remind you that corona or no corona, quarantine or Valentine, okay? Whether it's quarantine, it's a Valentine. We are here for serving the Lord. And I just want you to know, do not forget the primary reason. It's so winning. So I'm here to announce that in 2 weeks' time, we will have a swollen Sunday service. Clap for the Lord Jesus. By the grace of God, swollen Sunday service. And I am asking everyone, work on souls. Soul winning does not end because you had corona. Listen. We can do soul winning and invitations and outreaches and witnessing online, social media, what have you. Yeah, this is the time where people who don't like going to church, who like to sit at home, maybe this is all God is trying to do, that he will also rally in such people whose legs are lazy. They're not lazy. Their legs are lazy. Their legs don't like moving. So no problem. God is dishing you out something that will outwit your legs so that your heart will manifest, because you want to be in the presence
Amen.
Of God.
That's
for the Lord Jesus. So our friends, loved ones, our relatives, our schoolmates ought to be rallied for the service of the Lord. So I am asking you, Jesus Christ did 12 disciples. We want to start with 3 at a time. By the end of the year, we want to be have had 4 of such swollen Sundays. And each of them, we're asking you, bring 3. 3 is a sign of the Trinity. Yeah. All right. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Get one soul for the Father, one soul for the Son, one soul for the Holy Spirit. You'll be complete. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So it's a Trinity swollen Sunday services train that we want to have. All right. So in 2 weeks' time, God willing, we will have a swollen Sunday. And I want you to start now getting your people, inviting your people, getting people on social. This time, you don't need to pick a car and go and bring somebody. You know, because of the witness that the social distancing, or I don't see what, it's not social, this is physical distancing. You cannot easily get to somebody and talk to the person about Christ easily, but you can do so through social media. You can do so through phone calls. You can do so through WhatsApp, through text messages. You can just send the Zoom link, yeah, or flyer out and things. And look, because we said 3, if you get 12, don't say, wait, I'm going to distribute you over the next few years. Bring all of them. God will give you another set of souls in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's for a soul swollen Sunday. The next thing I want you to be aware of is our flow prayer services. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Flow prayer services. And I just want you to know that, you know, we have sort of put all our the number of hours from 11 p.m. our time all the way to 6 a.m., sometimes 6:30 in the morning. Awesome. 7 hours of God's perfect number prayers. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's not common for more than 10,000 people to be praying at night for the Lord, and it's something that attracts angels. I don't want you to miss out on it. Psalm 134, I'm encouraging all of you with 2 verses. Psalm 134, verse 1 through 3, says, blessed be the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night you stand in the house of the Lord. Wow. By night you are praying, your hands. Amen. Yeah, so I saw you, Prudential, through the night. This time I didn't have to wake you up. God bless you. See, when you wake somebody up a little while, then the person then takes off by himself. You know, so it was beautiful. I mean, I've been so blessed. And then verse 2 says, which by night stand in the house of the Lord, lifting up your hands in the sanctuary, bless the Lord. Look, it's service to the Lord. Let your hands lifted in prayer be a blessing to the Lord. Wow. I'm blessed that through the night, this my son is seeking my face. You know, one of the things that brought little Samuel, favor with Eli, is in the night he woke and served. 4 times he was called, 3 times, and finally was told, say, Master, speak, for thy servant heareth. He didn't sleep. He was there to serve. He was determined. Lord, speak. Lord, speak. Lord, speak. When you do these flow prayer services, you are like Samuel. You are not sleeping. Say, Lord, speak to me. As I'm praying, my hands up. I need a word from you. And listen to what happens. Verse 3 says, this is what happens. But the Lord of Zion. Look, the Zion. May the Lord that made heaven and earth bless you out of Zion. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? When somebody says the Lord, when someone says, I, the one who manufactures cars, I'm going to bless you. Most like a ham. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you. I mean, you, he said, you, your blessing is with my sister. You, your blessing was with your teacher. But you, your blessing is with the dealer of cars, the manufacturer of cars. Which one? I mean, what means that you are easily going to get some cars? Everything he manufactures is likely to come to you. Now, man, let me tell you, when the Lord says, he's saying, I'm going to, I, the Lord, who made heaven and earth, I'm blessing you from where I made heaven and earth. It means everything in this world I can create for you. He's the one who blesses. He's the one who blesses. Anytime you stand up at night in the sanctuary for the flow prayers, remember this scripture, that you are fulfilling scripture. Every scripture, every promise has a condition. This promise, the condition is stand in the house of the Lord at night, lifting up prayerful hands, and see the Lord who made heaven and earth, where the streets are made of gold. He's the one who will bless you. Why will you not have gold? May silver and gold sing in your house. May you be decorated with silver and gold. May the Lord be your decorator in Jesus' name. Yes. So those flow prayer meetings, don't joke with it. But you know, I know that money will not be an issue. Coins, gold will not be an issue in Jesus' name. But I know that sometimes our eyes are just dim with sleep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what we have done, and you need to have what we call a wake up partner. Wake me up partner. Someone say, wake me up partner.
Wake me up partner.
Well, do you know that the first pope of the world was Peter? Jesus said, you, upon you, I'll build my church. So he was the first leader of the church, apart from Jesus. Do you know that that pope also slept and had a wake-up partner? James, John had wake-up partners. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Because from now, we are going to affect the wake-up partners well. Many of you have woken you up. How many of you have I woken up before? Yeah, I could see I've woken up. Alex, I've woken you up. Spencer, Prudential, God bless you all. Let me tell you, I was doing Jesus' job, because that's what Jesus did. The book of Luke chapter 9 from verse 28. Matthew chapter 26 from verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 36. The Bible says over there, Matthew 26, verse number 36. Okay, let me read from my Bible. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. I've been there. You will be there in Jesus' name. I've gone to Gethsemane twice by the grace of God. You'll be there. A place called Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. And said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Watch this. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, look at this. Then he said to them, to the disciples, you see, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here with me. Watch with me. Watch is another word for stay alert and pray. Watch and pray. Now, watch. Go on. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Jesus was praying, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Then verse 40 says, and he came and saw the disciples and found them asleep. You know, when we are all in the flow service, we're supposed to be awake, but some will fall asleep. Right. Yeah, some. You even sleep at 8. You want to wake up at 11. It will continue. Listen, the strategy Jesus used to keep Peter, James, and John is what we're going to use, scriptural. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not stay awake, watch with me for even 1 hour? Could you not even 1 hour? Then he woke them up. That's a wake-up call because they were sleeping. He woke up and told them, what? Did you not wake? Then the next thing, verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. All of you, I know you want to pray, but the flesh is weak. Wow. You are not an unspiritual person. It's just that your flesh is weak. You are just like Peter. Jesus just needs to help you. Today I represent Jesus. I'm presenting to you wake up partners like Jesus Christ. When they call you to wake you up, just see Jesus, they're doing what Jesus did. And don't insult them. Don't turn off the phone, but just respond and say, hey, I am now receiving the anointing of Peter. Jesus is waking me up. Just like Samuel in the night, the Lord woke him up and says, and then he said, Master, speak for thy servant here. That was the day he got his anointing. You will be anointed in Jesus' name. Yeah, flesh is weak. And then he went again, verse 42. Bible says he went away again the second time and prayed, saying the same thing. Then verse 43, and he came again after 1 hour and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. Then verse 44, and he left them and went again and prayed a third time. Listen, What you need to do is that let them call you 3 times. Or set your alarm every hour. One of them will wake you up. Yeah. Set hour after hour, set yourself up. Otherwise, if they call you 3 times, and Jesus said, look, sleep on. After 3 times, I won't mind you again. Nobody will mind you. So clap for the Lord Jesus. We're going to set up wake up partners. Amen. And so all of you, choose the person you're comfortable with. No male should go and wake up a female at 1 a.m.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. So you can wait your spouses and things like that. All right, so we're going to set it up. Your WASENTA leader is going to wake you up, and please don't be annoyed. Expect it. So from 11 o'clock all the way to around 1 o'clock, some phone calls are going to be made. If by 1, you haven't responded, we'll be like Jesus. Sleep on. Won't wake you up again. But for your sake, if you sleep through and then you happen to, wow, I wanted to wake up at 12. You found yourself waking up at 3, still wake up. Even if you find yourself waking up at 5 a.m., still join, because it can go to 7 easily. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The 11th hour prayer people will also be rewarded in Jesus' name. So all of you, learn that. Sleep early so you can wake up. And then also join the watch party. I know you watch by YouTube and all kinds of things. You watch by Daggy Word Meals, by First Love. But we're going to send you a watch party so that, you know, you can communicate. People can keep you alert by the comments they make and all that, so that you and your family, iron sharpens iron. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friends. So Akwi, join with the watch party, not just directly, so that somebody can interact with you. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
All right. So that your comments will, you know, bolster us. Comments will be like Jesus's call. Hey! Are you not awake? I say, okay. Even Akwi is awake. How can I not be awake? Clap for the Lord Jesus.
It's just working.
Amen. Well, for a few moments, today is our graduation Sunday. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Today, we want to acknowledge and honor those who have striven. It's a word. There's some strife. They've tried.
Yeah.
Try plus S is try something. Yeah. Clap for the Lord. Something has tried. They have tried very hard. They've striven and they've made it. High schoolers and college graduates and some masters and some, you know, it's a blessing. And, you know, clap for them. Clap for all of them. So we want to honor them today and recognize what has been done. And today, I want to share what it means, you know, the last series on honor. This is our month of honor. Next month will be another month. We'll preach. That's what we do. We take a theme for a month and we discuss it. We go into it. So today, we've talked about how to honor relationships for the first one, you know. That the fact that if you don't honor people, your relationship wouldn't work. So learn to honor one another so that your relationship will grow. Relationships are built on honor.
That's right.
Not on disrespect and disregard and people who you don't call them, you don't care. Hey, that relationship will go down. So honor, respect, acknowledge. Amen. Then we talked about how your words can be used to honor somebody, or how somebody's words, you can honor somebody through words. All right, through honoring the person's words. And we learned that words are important. Okay, so somebody's words can really, the way you honor somebody depends on how you receive the person's words. Yeah. And many people, you receive when somebody's talking and you're just on your cell phone, you don't respect the person.
Yeah.
The person's words mean nothing to you. It's the truth. Yeah. But on the other hand, when you receive somebody's words and you are writing notes and you're paying attention, it's powerful. So the word of God, the way you handle the word of God is a sign of how you honor and respect God. Christianity is not about the way you pray. I'm telling you. Prayer is your words. Yeah. If you are praying based on what the word of God says, then that's fine. But people who love God's words are usually, they respect God more than people who pray. Because many people, they pray because of what they need, because they are afraid.
It's true.
Yeah. because they need to say something, because they need to join. But word, Bible study, is not just study, but actually relating with God through his words. When you pick up the Bible to read with importance, you are saying, God, there is something good you can say. I honor your words. So me, I assess Christians by their handling of the word of God. Yes. Yeah. Even Jesus Christ said in John 8, verse 31 or 32, he says that, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Not if you continue prayer. If you continue in my word, then I can see that you value. Yeah, I can see that you are my disciple indeed. Yeah. And he said from there, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The people that are free is people who handle the word of God with importance and honor God through his word. Those are the people that walk in freedom, freedom from the devil, freedom from evil, even freedom from death and trouble. When you honor God's word, you walk in freedom. I'm telling you. Yeah, you will know the truth. When you respect God's word, you will come into knowledge of the truth, and the truth will make you free. That is why in the reverse, God says that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. In other words, my people perish because they don't respect my words. Yeah. Christians who don't respect words, they perish. I'm telling you. Yeah. You don't take it seriously. You don't read your Bible. Sometimes you just read the Bible and put it aside. You don't even write notes. When somebody reads and writes something, he's saying that somebody is talking to me. The words are important. I'm going to put it down, and I'm going to make it important. I'm coming back to read again. I don't want to forget what the Lord said to me. It's different from somebody who just reads and goes away. I'm telling you. You may not believe it, but it's the truth. Yeah. If somebody, I'm talking to somebody as a boss, and one of them, as I speak, they are writing. Another, they are just on their phone, or they're just listening. I would say the person who's writing is more serious. It's the truth. That is why we have a Bible challenge to train us to honor the Lord by honoring his words. So important that I'm writing it. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. For it is life unto those who find them, and health or healing to all their flesh. Everything they are doing in this place, it will heal. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. So anybody who you respect, you honor his words. And it starts with God. Yeah, people who, for example, as I'm speaking the word of God, you are writing, you are applying what I'm saying, you respect God. Yeah, you respect God. As I'm, some people, you are just lying in bed and just anyhow. You see, even your posture, when somebody is talking, is a sign of respect. Yeah, as I'm preaching, so if, you know, right, the way the Zoom is now, if you can sit at your home and create a church atmosphere, you are alone, nobody's watching, but you're serious, you're with your Bible, no notebook, your tablet, and you are sitting down, it means your Christianity is real. The things we do in church, they are often just hypocrisy. We are doing it for show, because everybody is watching, therefore I have to write something. But as you are here now, you are in your home. If when nobody's looking, you are actually writing notes. You, man, you are the man. You are the man of Christ. You are the true Christian, I'm telling you. And if you are not doing it, change and become like that. Because he said, they that continue in my word. That means that the word, it doesn't come and bounce back. You continue. You write it down and you continue. And you pass it on. You write it down. You read it again. And you apply it. It's called continuing.
Man.
Or you just get it once. It's Sunday and you go away. You forget me. A forgetful hearer does not honor God. Yeah. Yeah. Bible says, be not hearers of the word, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. And Bible says, deceiving your own self. James 1:22. Deceiving your own selves. I mean, if you know how to deceive, don't deceive yourself. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, pay attention to God's word. It will show that you honor God. Yeah, to show that you honor God. It will be a blessing. So, tomorrow, God, we will resume our Bible challenge with another book. I won't tell you. Tomorrow morning, it will be there in Jesus' name. Right. Clap for the Lord Jesus. One chapter a day. Yeah. And, you know, The devil can force you, can use all kinds of argument to tell you, no. You know, one person told me something, in fact, about three people, four people have told me that. When I told them, four people have told me that, you know, when I told them, oh, from now, don't just read your Bible, but write something down. And when you write it, even post it to help others. Some of them, about four people told me that, you know, when you do that, it's like I'm doing it for you. I said, really? Why? So, well, I don't feel like doing it, but you are making me do it. So because of that, I don't feel I'm doing it for God. So I won't do it. I said, what are you talking about? It's a very satanic argument. So I had to explain to a number of people before they joined in. And many of them today, thank God, they rejoice in that because they honor God and they are being delivered and blessed. You will be the next one to be blessed in Jesus' name. If you know how to pay attention to words, pay attention to the word of God. And by extrapolation to the words of your father, to the words of your pastor, anyone you respect, the words of your boss, you take it seriously, you will prosper in that job. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And last week we did how to honor somebody with your substance. Yeah. And we learned that God specifically showed us one sure way of honoring. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You see, one of the reasons why new things don't come to many people is because they have not learned to honor the Lord with their substance. Their substance. If you don't learn to, you don't learn to honor the Lord with your substance, you will never become substantial. Substantial. I'll say it again. If you do not learn to honor the Lord with your substance, you yourself will not become substantial.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the Bible says that those that honor me, I will honor. It means what you give me, I will make you that thing.
That's right.
Yeah. And last week we learned that, you know, honor is not supplying a need. Because if it was supplying a need, then honor the Lord with your substance. The Lord says he made heaven and earth. He will bless you. What does he need? You think he needs your dollar? Dollar, that is paper, that is colored. I can color paper green if you want. Dollar is just paper that is colored. I mean, all the things. God, I would say, the silver and the gold, they are mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills, they are mine. So if you have some fattened calf and you are coming, it is of, that's why I like David. He says that, I'm bringing you what is your own. What you gave me of thine own bring I you. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. He was blessed, so blessed. He was so blessed at the latter part of his years that he wanted to build a house, a temple for the Lord with his own resources. And God said, no, your son, I'll make him rich to build it. David says, still, he piled up the money and everything. I have enough resources, substantial. He was a substantial man because he honored the Lord with his substance. Yeah. A man of substance. May you become a man of substance. Amen. Them that honor me, I will honor, he said. And them that despise me, I will lightly esteem. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30b. I'll lightly esteem. So me, I don't, my money, God, no, I will give it. Tithe, I will not, if I know how to steal, not God's money. 10%. Only 10%. Because of 10%, you want to lose your job. And lose your life. And lose your blessing. How greedy can you be? Just give 10% so that you can be blessed. Yeah. It's for God anyway. So, look. God is not looking for the gold because he needs it. What is he going to use it for? He's testing it. When he sent the Israelites, he was sending them to the promised land. He said that so that I may prove you. That's why he sent them through the wilderness to test them and to prove what is in their heart. So we can send them to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. Substantial people come because they've given substance. Me, I will never stop paying tithe. I will never give in to the Lord. And not only to the Lord, to anybody that I honor. Yeah, I will never stop giving to my wife, giving to my children, giving to my friends. Many of you have gotten substantial things from me by the grace of God. Yeah, me, my substance, I will help you unless you don't need help by the grace of God. Many of you, if you be truthful, substance has come to you because I honor you. No, although you are my members, I honor you. I you are important to me. You are valuable.
Yep. Substance.
You're valuable. You're valuable. It's okay. You want to change it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm okay. Thank you. God bless you, son. You look good like your daddy. I think you got it from your mother, but I have to say that because if I don't say that, I won't eat, you know. But actually, you got it from me. I don't tell her that I said that. Anyway. Amen. Now, he got his looks from the mother and the singing from me. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, learn to honor people with gifts. Learn to honor. You know, honor. I mean, wives, when you are cooking, cook well. So that you honor your husband with good, substantial food. Husband, honor your wife with good jewelry, substance. Yes. Perfumes. Kisses. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Children, honor your parents with your substance. Yeah, I told you last week, your first salary belongs to your father. And if you are in Christ, you have two fathers now, Heavenly Father and Earthly. Share the two. Don't even take $1 out. Yes. And make sure a little tilt towards God so that if it is 400, you give the Lord 200, 200, but you give the Lord 201 and your daddy 199. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Your statement is God is greater than you, by the way. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Honor with your substance. And if it's difficult for you to give 1 month's salary, tell yourself, I'll take it as though that man, the job that I got, instead of hiring me this month, they said, no, wait and come next month. That's the way I told myself. I just told myself, for about 1 year, I haven't had a job, and suddenly give me a job. Instead of making it 12 months, I didn't have it. I'll say it's for 30 months, I didn't have a job. And give the first month, and then I start. My work, my future will be great. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And those of you who've never done that, don't say, I escaped. I've already started a work 20 years ago. No, next month one, collect it and go and honor your parents. I'm telling you, do it and watch it.
Amen, Pastor.
If you've never done it, do it. Honor your fathers.
Thank you.
With substance.
Thank you.
That's how substantial you will be. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Today, I want to conclude in a few minutes with the last part of the honor series. Somebody say honor series. How? This one is not honor. This is dishonor. Signs of dishonor. You know, sometimes the best way to see what something is to define what it is not. Yeah. I'll say it again. Sometimes the best way to define something is to, okay. You know, there's a diagnosis in medicine. Have you had irritable bowel syndrome? IBS. It is the most frustrating diagnosis you can give as a gastroenterologist to somebody. The person is clearly in pain, clearly frustrated in pain. Then the doctor knows something is wrong. Patient knows something is wrong. But you do every test and nothing is wrong. Doctor is not happy. Patient is not happy. So you cannot diagnose anything without, we cannot diagnose irritable bowel syndrome. There's nothing wrong. It's a functional disease. There's nothing physically or organically wrong. Everything is normal, but there's pain. So we call it a diagnosis of exclusion. You have to exclude, do an endoscopy to exclude ulcers, do a colonoscopy to exclude Crohn's disease and things like that. Do a CAT scan to exclude tumors. Do everything. And when you say everything is not there, then you say, that's the diagnosis. So the way to find out what it is find out what is not there. The way to define honor, I said by substance, relationships, words, anything. But sometimes still people don't get it. So you have to now let them know what makes you see that you are not honoring. Yeah, sometimes what you said, this is when you do these things. But what is it that when you do, you are dishonoring, or when you don't do, it means that you are not honoring? Wow. That's what we want to, signs of dishonor. Yeah. Signs of dishonor. Why? Why do we have to go to this? Because sometimes dishonor can bring curses. Actually, Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1, Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, in brackets, which is the first commandment with promise. Then verse 6, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on this earth. Do you know what? It means that when you dishonor, you turn it around. Dishonor your parents. Do not honor your parents. It will not be well with you and you will not live long on this earth. Yeah. So you see, when you tell somebody, honor the Lord, honor your parents so that it will be well with you, you don't live long, you will live long on this earth. Sometimes they don't see it as big a deal. Because, oh, honor. Okay, I'll honor later. Okay, honor. Meanwhile, they are dishonoring. No. While they are waiting to honor, they are dishonoring. They don't know. So sometimes you have to actually tell them that, no, look at it. Turn the thing around. Do not honor or dishonor your parents. It will not be well with you. You will not live long on this earth. Then suddenly they sit up. Suddenly they sit up. Suddenly they sit up. Right. That is how the prodigal son was. Mm-hmm. He learned that, it's not just enough to do the things that I didn't do right, I'm going to correct it. Because he had seen the side of, if you don't do this, you don't leave your husband, you don't listen to your wife, then he came back. Today I pray that it will help you. A few moments. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 3. Talking about Jesus in the Old Testament. He is despised. The opposite of dishonor is honor is despise. You remember that the Bible says that they that honor me, I'll honor. They that despise me, I would lightly esteem. So if you are not honoring, you are despising, disrespecting, disregarding, demeaning. Yeah, that's all that it means. So I'm talking about people who demean, disregard, despise, disregard, disrespect. He, Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, including you and I. A man of sorrows, when you despise your father, they become very sorrowful. Look, parents, they go through a lot of pain. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. When you dishonor people for so long, they become sorrowful. They are acquainted with grief. When they see you, they become grieved. Bible says Esau was a grief to his father and his mother. That's right. A grief. Genesis chapter 26, the last verse, I believe. He was a grief. They had told him, don't marry outside. Don't marry unbelief. He went and married twice. And Bible says these women that he married from verse 34 and 35. And he married two, 34. Esau was 40 years. He took wife Judith, a daughter of Beri, a Hittite. Oh! And another Bashmat, the daughter of Elon, another Hittite, disregarded, despised the parent twice. And Bible described the feeling that was in the parents' heart. The last way said they were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebecca. May you never be a grief to people because of your dishonor. So Jesus was despised. Because of that, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We dishonored him. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not believe it, but you see, this is the thing. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, Bible says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. Then verse 12 says, but as many as received him or honored him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name. Ladies and gentlemen, so there are two groups of Christians. Those that honor, those that dishonor. Bible says in a great house, they are not only vessels of honor, but also vessels of dishonor. Hey, you will never be a vessel of dishonor in Jesus' name. Your vessel will never dishonor God, will never dishonor your parents. You will never dishonor people in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, God is telling us what it means when you dishonor, how grievous it is, how much it sends people into sorrow and constant acquainted with grief like Jesus was because he was despised. So how do we avoid that? Okay, now, let me read. Number one, signs of dishonor. Your absence can be a sign of dishonor. Your absence at an event, at a celebration, at a meeting, at a church, can be a sign of dishonor at a flow meeting. It's a sign of dishonor. Yeah. When the people are gathered, Even Satan, Bible says in Job chapter 1 verse 6, when he saw the children of the Lord assembling, he also showed up. Evil, misbehaving, old son, expired son, thrown to the earth. He said, ah, you see my daddy. Even sometimes the devil knows how to honor God by his presence than Christians. When the children of God gather in church, where are you? For some of us, God is looking at you. He said, look, if the devil had the point, he would have come to me. He would have joined my people. That's why many times the devil joins churches and brings problems. Because the real Christians who should join and do good things are not there. Yeah. The sign of dishonor. Bible says that remember my Sabbath and keep it holy. But you, dear, remember, forget, reject, throw away, disregard, despise. Your absence can be a sign of dishonor. When I call a meeting, I said, all my people should gather. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, God knows that there are some of us who behave that way. Your absence can be a sign of dishonor. When you respect God, look, I don't want to boast, but it's been a while since I missed service by the grace of God. Meeting, when I see God's children are gathering, I'll be there. I will be there in Jesus' name. And I'll be there bright and early by the grace of God. But not so with some Christians. Some manner. It's a sign of dishonor. Bible says he was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. Oh, my children, they won't come. Rejected. It's a sign of rejection. Have you had a wedding that was important to you?
Wow.
That you've invited your people and they didn't show up? Yeah. Bible says in Luke chapter 14, when God prepared a feast, a dinner for his children, and he invited big many, they didn't come. He sent the son, and Bible says he got angry, and he sent the son, go and bring the lame and the maimed. Go to the highways and the byways and compel many to come, because the people that were invited, they didn't come. It's very painful. Yeah. Yesterday, I was having a graduation. Some people didn't show. I said, hey. People are not people. Aqui. Now, what I'm trying to say is that it's a sign of dishonor. You have your graduation. Nobody comes. The people that you expect to be there, they were not there. Yeah. They're not there. It's heartbreaking. It's sorrowful. It's grieving. It's a sign of dishonor. And God feels it. When there's prayer, all of us are gathering. How many times has it happened? Corona is here. Therefore, gather and come. We're not there. It's a sign of dishonor. I'm telling you. It's in the Bible. Your absence is a sign of dishonor. Why do you think that when you don't come to work and you don't call in, no call, no show, they can fire you because you've disregard? They call it abandonment and disregard, dishonor. It's such a big offense, you can be fired for it. Yeah, you can lose your job. Because you don't lose your relationship, you don't lose God. So you have learned to dishonor God. Yeah. When I call you, I bid you, come for a meeting, and you say, I won't come. It's a sign of disrespect. Numbers chapter 12, I think it was Numbers chapter 12, Moses called for a meeting. And the people, they said, we shall not come up. Find out, we will not come up. Numbers chapter 16. Yeah, Numbers chapter 16. He said, Moses bade them, said, we will not come up. Look at that, we will not come up. We will not. Yeah. We will not. From verse 1. Says that now Korah the son of Eliab and Korah the son of the sons of Eliab. Okay, they took men. Then verse 2. And they rose up before Moses and certain of the men who were renowned. Go on, verse 3. But look, for they will not come. And they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourself, seeing all the congregation are also holy, every one of them. And the Lord is also among us. We too, God speaks to us. How do you lift up yourself so much above the congregation of the Lord? Look at the way they were speaking to their pastor. And then Verse 12. So Moses actually told them they should come for a meeting so that they would discuss the problem. Do you know what it says? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram. This problem you are creating to spoil the church, to bring problems. So come and let's discuss. If you have an issue, we can resolve it peaceably. Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order, but they don't come. Moses sent to them, and then they said, we will not come up. We will not come. We won't come. We won't come. Moses, that God has chosen, anointed, they brought them out of Egypt. Evil, plagues. He's led them, had to pray. Aaron nearly caused them to be killed by God. Moses prayed for them. But look at how they were behaving. We will not come up. Some of you, one of the signs of your absence is when they call you and you switch the phone off. You click, clear. I won't mind you. And you see that, it's pastor again. It's lady pastor again. It's a shepherd again. It's my... No, we will. It's like saying we will not come up. It's dishonoring. It's disrespectful. Your boss calls you and says, oh, my head. It's dead. Yeah, we will not come up. Verse 13, what did they say? And he said, do you think it's a small thing that you know? Listen, all I'm telling you is that one sign of dishonor is your absence to a call. It's your absence to a calling. It's your absence to an invitation. Absence to where you're supposed to be. Absence where you're supposed to be working. And then you are not there. You are disregarding. You are actually showing you that you are despising the office. Yeah. Yeah. Absence. Your parents call you, I won't come. I'm busy. Hey, for certain people, when they call you, you should not say I'm busy. You should make it work. Or you should call and apologize and explain. Can we, when the police summon you, that, and then you say I won't stop. Hey, you are in trouble, eh? You are in trouble, eh? Because they see that thing as disregard for the authority of the government, dishonor, your absence. When they call you to court and you don't come, they call it contempt of court. That word contempt is the same as dishonor, disrespect, despisement of court, and they will charge you because it's a heavy offense. I've been charged before. Look, I had a speeding ticket for maybe about $16. New York. Yeah. Oh, no. It was maybe 100 and something, 60, something, 110, something. Listen, the thing rose. Court was appealed. I'd forgotten. By the time I realized, I was paid almost $1,000.
Wow.
What did I do? I didn't appear. I disrespected the court. That's what I paid. I paid court charges. I paid a fine. And I paid all the interest on it. It was a lot of money. But if I didn't pay, they would have revoked my license. So ladies and gentlemen, this, not being present at meetings is a bad sign. It's a bad sign. So don't expect you. If you know how to disregard, don't disregard God. As a Christian, Bible says Jesus, it was his custom to be in the house of the Lord all the time. Oh, I see you consistently being present when the children of the Lord gather in Jesus' name. Number two, one other sign of dishonor is your failure to call on someone. Your failure to call on someone. It can be a sign of disrespect. Jesus Christ was there. Matthew chapter 2. You know, the wise men came and then they bowed to Jesus. They worshiped him. Now, Herod had told them, come back when you find him, so that I can also go and worship him. They didn't do it. Herod looked at it and said, he said, the people have mocked me. He said, then Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men because they did not call, did not come, I said, go, when you finish, call me and tell me where he is. And they didn't do it. He called it mockery. He was exceeding angry or wrath. And sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So you know, when somebody calls you and you don't show up or you don't call on somebody, it's a sign. It's mockery. Don't mock God. Don't mock the people you need to honor. Don't mock your parents. Yeah. Some of us, we have never called our parents for a long time. Yeah. It's a sign of dishonor. People that are important to you, you will relate with them. You will call them from time to time. You will maintain the relationships that you honor. You stay in contact. It's the truth. When I travel and my wife has not called me, I don't take it lightly. I say, so I've been here. You haven't called me for a long time, eh? Yeah. I say, what? You haven't called me today. I mean, even today, she calls me every day, but I'm waiting. I mean, I call her every morning. Every morning without fail. Sometimes I say, look, I'm praying. I say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I call because I feel it's honorable. That's right. I feel it's honorable. And I want the people at my workplace to know that I have a beautiful wife. Ooh, yeah. So sometimes you call. You just call as an honor. I'm calling you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I have a relationship. It's important. Look, this call is important, okay? Some of the doctors, they said, my real boss is calling. I have to pick up.
That's right.
I said, wow, this is something. They know who to honor. So a call is a very important thing. Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The next thing that shows, so dishonor is being absent at an event, a meeting. Those of you who are fond of not attending one another's celebration, one another, Bible says that Christians, we will mourn with them that mourn and rejoice with them that do rejoice. I accept that word. Amen. And then the second one is calls, contact, calls. Okay. Call people. If people are asleep, call them. Find out how they're doing. Find out how is it. Yeah. Yeah, I call a lot of people in this church. Not many people call pastors. I don't know. Everybody feels the pastor is a superman. He has no issues.
Okay, send an call.
Hey. Please call me also, okay? Paul said at one point, when at the last minute, there was nobody there except, he mentioned one or two people who called on me. And I said, hey, pastors get lonely. They get lonely. Yeah. Even a text. I'll send a text. Christmas, Mother's Day, this to everybody. Sometimes they don't even care to respond. Yeah. Even worse so, they even say, oh, you too. Happy Father's Day or Happy Mother's Day.
Same to you.
And then the sad things you send, oh, same to you. No, you're not a father.
Mercy.
Anyway.
Happy Mother's Day.
Same to you. I send you Happy Mother's Day. You say same to you. You didn't even read the text. You realize I'm a woman. I'm a man. I mean, sorry. I mean, do I look like I have breasts? I mean, I have breasts, but you know, it doesn't look like something that can breastfeed. So far, my wife has. Anyway, number three, disregarding advice can be a sign of dishonor. Disregarding advice. When you disregard somebody's advice, it's a sign that you don't respect the person. Yeah. Oh, there are some people that stopped advising. Oh, it's true. Because you say it, don't mind. At a point, you have to be quiet. Disregarding advice. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. Naaman, the Syrian. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, and Elisha sent a messenger him, saying, Naaman was a leper. It was a centurion, but he was a leper. You see that? Captain, but a leper. He said, I advise you. You say you have leprosy. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Is he going? Okay. 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Amen. Then, the next verse. But Naaman was wroth. And went away. Somebody has advised you, you're angry. Went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Then the next, he said, go and just dip in the Jordan. I've been there. The Jordan is just a creek. It's not a big river. And it's not clean. So I can understand him. He said, look, I have Abana and Fapa. Rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. And it's true. If you go to Israel, you'll see. I've been baptized in the Jordan. You'll be there. Yeah. May I not wash in rather in these beautiful waters and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Refused. Some people, when they advise you, go away in rage. You're angry. It's a sign that you disregard, disrespect the person who is saying the thing. Walk away. I'm sure the prodigal son, he was advised, don't go. I got to go. He just walked away. Disrespect. Yeah, disrespect. Some people, you finish school, you just, I'm going, I'm leaving. Good riddance. I saw one of my cousins. That's the next one. When you leave home, like the prodigal son, when you leave, it's a sign. You leave people's presence. I'm not with you. I don't want to be with you. It's a sign of disregard. I've quit. I won't be in your church anymore. Oh, look at you. Yeah, unceremoniously. That's the next one. But look, she went enraged. Then I like the verse 13. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much rather when he just said, wash and be clean? Is it not simple enough? See, the servants respected the man of God's words, but not Naaman. Then verse 14. But I like Naaman's attitude because he changed.
That's right.
Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child and was clean. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Clean. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, what this means is that if you regard good counsel, your life become better. Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. One clear sign of disrespect is when you refuse counsel. You don't listen to counsel. One of my sons told me, I told you last time. He said, Daddy, he came. Very nice guy now. Very one of the nicest. Me, I thank God for the church. The church has really transformed my children by the grace of God. The church, by the Holy Spirit. You know? And it's a blessing. And your children are going to be good too. Don't worry what is happening. They will be okay. For those who don't have a child, I'm talking about your children that will come in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, and today he told me that, Daddy, once upon a time when you were all advising me, I was just waiting for you to finish. I was just making noise in my mind so that I won't hear. But today, he will come. Wherever you are, he'll call you. He wants to find out, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? It's a sign that honor has come back. Honor has come back. When you take your advice from the word of God, it's a sign that you honor God. When the word of God says something, but you refuse and you object, it's a sign of disrespect for God. I'm telling you. I'm saying it again. When God advises you, for example, husbands, love your wives, and you are hating your wife. You are rude to God. You are dishonoring to God, despising to God. When God says, submit yourself to your husband, and you are super Beijing type of women's liberation, millennium girl. That is why you'll never be happy in home, in the house. You have just taken... When the Lord says, for example, be diligent, hard work, add to your faith diligence, and you are lazy, you haven't taken advice. That's why you don't do well. Yes, it's honoring. Okay. When the Lord says, become fishers of men, and you are in the church, all you do is warmers of pews. You are dishonoring. Not a fisher of men, a warmer of pew. Who says we need a heater in the seats? Well, in summer already, at least, if you need a heater, want a heater, it's winter, then you can say, yeah, in summer, almost, what's your problem? So what I'm trying to say is that when we refuse the word of God, God says that bring all the tithes to my storehouse, and you bring just 2% instead of 10. It's dishonoring. It's dishonoring. All of that. You see, so dishonoring brings sorrow and grief, and it doesn't go well with you. Final. There's more. Man, there's leaving your home like the prodigal son is dishonoring. Let me just read it out to you. Or leaving your church just unceremoniously. Or leaving your marriage just unceremoniously. Yes, leaving your marriage. You just walk away. Leaving, abandoning your children. You've had a baby and they just walk away. How? All that is a sign of dishonor. It's not just, I didn't give money, so I'm not. No, but the things you do. Then number 5, your stubbornness can be a sign of dishonor. Your stubbornness. I won't do it. You look in the face and say, what are you saying? what you're saying, is it saying, he's not saying, this, yes, I heard it, but I won't do it. Okay, yeah, okay, I smile. There's some stubbornness that's called beautiful stubbornness. It's called beautiful disobedience. Nice. The people that smile all the time, watch them, eh? All the time. I'm telling you, it's not natural. They are the most stubborn. Oh, yeah. You watch. Anybody who's always, emotions change, he's still this way, this way. Oh, how? No, it's not possible. It's called beautiful disobedience. They will smile at your advice like that. They will smile away. That's it. And then finally, hypocrisy can be a sign of dishonoring. You say one thing and you mean another. If you respect someone, you will tell the truth. You'll be transparent to the person. It's the truth. Yeah. You'll be transparent. You will tell the truth. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15:7, ye hypocrites, well the desires prophesied of you, saying, these people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are in church, nice, but outside you're something. Yeah, yeah, it's hypocritical. It's like you are this to this, it's this to that. Look, if you are nice, be nice. Be the same. Anything that you can change within a split second is not part of you.
Bipolar.
Yeah. That's why your clothes are not you. You can go to the bathroom and remove your clothes right now. It's not. You cannot remove your hand easily.
No.
Yeah. Anything you can easily switch from this and from that, that thing is not you. That's not part of you. Yeah. And like you are coming, you had an issue with your spouse, and you say, I'm going to church. So when I come back, you see the real, my true self. Hey, you probably are not a Christian. You probably not. It's like you're going to wear new clothes to go there. It's called whitewashing. Bible calls it, Jesus called it, your whitewash. He said, inside you is death, and outside you is a tomb. You're like a tomb. Outside is whitewash, but inside is death, evil. When you can smile at somebody, but you're thinking evil. Look, me, I'll tell you what I think. Eh? Yeah. What you see is what you get. That's the truth. You may not like it. But I would rather apologize because I said the wrong thing without thinking. Than keep, Bible says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs chapter 27. Is that? Yeah. 27. I think it's verse 5 or something. Verse 6 or 5. Find out. Yeah. Better is open rebuke. Yeah, verse 6. Huh. But the verse 5 says what? Open rebuke is better, yeah, than secret love. Yeah. Open rebuke. I like it. Open rebuke. Open. And then I find out, I will apologize. Than secret love. I love you. I'll say. But Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will rather wound you faithfully because of my loyalty to you. Because of my loyalty, I'll tell you, even if you don't like. How many people can tell you that your armpit is smelling, your clothes are smelling, that you need to change, for example, your deodorant? Or you need a tic tac, your breath is. How many? How many? They just stand away as if you have corona. It's not physical distancing. There's a way of telling you your breath is not nice. They are blaming it on corona, but there's something they can tell you to make you better. They are not saying it's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. And then they are full of flatteries. Flatteries. Jesus said, when you come and you lift up your hands and your heart is not with him, it's flattery. It is whitewashed outside. Your external looks good. Your hands are lifted. But the inside, the heart, deadly. You are like whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed on the outside, clean, but inside is death. Please, if there's death, tell the person there's death inside of me. You better run, or you better sort it out. This is what it is. People you respect, you will tell the truth about what you're feeling, and it's not. And you'll not be rude. You will. That's why Bible says that. Approach, do not rebuke an elder, but entreat as a father. Me, I don't like keeping things. I would tell my wife, look, I will tell you. I will just talk to you nicely, but it will be there. Emotions will come. But if you, I'm so sorry. Don't be hypocrite. Be truthful. Be truthful. It's a sign of honor. Tell the truth one to another, to your friends, to your loved ones, to your relative, to your boss. Tell the truth as it is. It's a sign of honor. Tell the Lord the truth. Be truthful to God. Don't bring 2% when it's supposed to be 10%. Ananias and Sapphira were hypocritical. Yeah, hypocrisy killed them. God will not kill you. But God wants you to change. Bible says his kindness should lead you to repentance. May the Lord be kind to you. May you be repentant in Jesus' name. Put your hands together. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh, this subject of honor is here. Those who honor you. It's one of our books, our Bishop Dad's books. So get it. I just preached 4 topics. Those who honor you, get that book. You will learn so much out of it. Hallelujah. Lift up, put your hand on your heart. Now, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want the inside to look good and the outside the same. No hypocrisy, no dishonoring, nothing like that. But you want to be the child of God for real inside and out. You want to submit yourself to the Lord. You want to say, Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ right now. Right now. Please, Lord, help me. If you are here like that, I want you to lift up your hand. I want you to lift up your hand. Wherever you are, on the screen or off the screen, lift up your hand and let the Lord bless you. Let the Lord bless you. And say this with me. Say, Almighty Father, I repent of all my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I accept and I believe Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that truly he died for me and for my sins. And Almighty God raised him from the dead. By this faith confession, I am born again. I am a child of God. Please write my name in the book of life and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
It's a good life. We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.